Blog Talk Radio.
And we're near the end of the month. Next week is the Labor Day weekend. Among the birthdays today, Dorothy Parker, famous female humorist of the turn of the century or in 20s, 30s. She's the one who commented about Calvin Coolidge, who was known as Silent Cal, who's also president who succeeded Harding, is also the governor of Massachusetts when there was a police strike, and he said, "Police have no right to strike against the public." And this catapulted him onto the national stage, like hopefully this guy, J. Jeremiah Wilson Nixon, is hoping to be a vice presidential candidate for the Democratic Party. So little is known about that guy that he was mentioned as a Republican vice presidential candidate. Anyway, when Calvin Coolidge died, Dorothy Parker said, "Are you sure?" Famous impressionist, one of the great French classical composers, most famous piece, Afternoon of a Faun, famous opera, Pelléas and Mélisande, preludes, great impressionist at the turn of the century, Claude Debussy. one of the Chinese communist leaders, the survival of the Long March. It was a 5,000-mile trek during World War II when the Japanese army invaded China, and Mao and his communists fled, kept doing a strategic retreat, which took about 5,000 miles. Of course, they eventually won and kicked out the nationalists under Chiang Kai-shek, and those people went to Taiwan. Some have come to America. Jen Pao became a prime minister, a president, a premier, or exalted leader, and he began to capitalize China. Of course, Chinese are closet capitalists anyway. A lot of people think that everywhere they go in the what they call the overseas Chinese, they get into banking and finance and business. And a million of them, there was a famine in China around 1890, and they immigrated or came into the Philippines and became the financial wizards. I'm part Chinese, so descendant of one of those people. Also, the Ferdinand Marcos, Chinese ancestry. And there was one time the very late Cardinal Archbishop of Manila, Jaime Sin, that's his name, H-S-I-N. He was so sick he couldn't go to the last papal election. We have John Lee Hooker, great black musician, the first doctor to do an artificial heart, Dr. Denton Cooley. I think he worked at Southern Methodist University. If you like 451, Fahrenheit 451. Ray Bradbury, the author, was born in Illinois. If you remember Goldfinger and 007 and Honor Blackman, known as Pussy Galore. I'll stop right there. Another entertainment lady, Valerie Harper, was Rhoda, her birthday. A woman who decided to swim from Cuba to Florida, Diana Nyad, her birthday today. Among the deaths, in 1818, Warren Hastings, who was the first Governor General of India after Robert Clive conquered India, in effect, and set up the East India Company, and there was a lot of exploitation of the Indians from India. Anyway, he claimed that he was trying to reform all the corrupt practices. He was accused of public corruption in one of the first and longest impeachment trials in legal history, nearly 4 months. Warren Hastings was tried by the Parliament, and he was acquitted, but it broke him. Another guy who famous in Anglo-Saxon history, Michael Collins, who was believed to be the father of modern Ireland, the Republic, and great movie. Liam Neeson played Michael Collins. I highly recommend if you want to know some very accurate Irish history, modern Irish history. Michael Collins fought the British in guerrilla warfare, but he was assassinated by an assassin who was believed to have been connected to Eamon de Valera. Eamon de Valera was part of the Easter Rebellion, and he wasn't executed because he had American citizenship. He later became the president and, in effect, dictator of the Irish Republic, and very conservative. Abortion was planned. You couldn't get condoms. A lot of things were going on in Ireland that the rest of the Irish who had emigrated to other parts of the world, Canada, the United States, Australia, were free to practice what they wanted and to have a free lifestyle. But the Republic of Ireland under Eamon de Valera was very constricted. It was like the Jesuits were running the place. And it's believed that Eamon de Valera was buried in a Jesuit or Franciscan monk's outfit, according to Patrick Butler, who was an Irishman of Irish ethnicity, also has Russian ethnicity. The founder of Kenya, the started the Mau Mau to get the British out, Jomo Kenyatta, was born on a day. And also there's the question of Mr. O, Barack Hussein Obama, was he born in Kenya? It's an ongoing controversy, and eventually we'll get to the bottom of it. Even though the now defeated governor of Hawaii, Neil Abercrombie, said he was present at the birth, if you can believe that. Among the events today, this was the last of the Plantagenets. These were the people, the crowd that came over with William the Conqueror in 1066 and defeated the Battle of Hastings. And I don't think Warren Hastings was named after that place, and nor is Hastings Law College here in the United States, here in California. Anyway, they set up the new monarchy called the Plantagenets, and quite a few of them. One of the most notorious was Edward II, who had Wallace executed, the Scotch freedom fighter. Anyway, the last of the Plantagenets at the Battle of, I think, Tewkesbury in 1485, Richard III was killed in battle, and his body was stripped and mysteriously buried, and recently they discovered that he was buried, and they did a post-forensic autopsy on the bones and all that DNA, I suppose, something like that, and was discovered that he was Crookback Dick. In fact, the most famous movie stars Laurence Olivier, who played Richard III. And, of course, his final statement, final cry before he was slain at the battle was, "My kingdom for a horse." And, of course, they treated, the horse he got was when he was slain, and he was carried on the back of the horse and then buried in an unmarked grave, it's believed. In 1775, now this was the new, the Hanoverian kings that came over from Germany. They were Protestant, and after the Catholics, the Stuarts, with the end of the Stuarts, we had William and Mary, and then we had the German branches, which is what this branch of the Windsor, House of Windsor is today. George III declared that the American colonies, the 13 colonies, were in open rebellion, and in 1776, it actually happened, it was activated. In 1762, the first woman editor of a newspaper, Anne Franklin. In 1846, the United States annexed New Mexico. Now, New Mexico has, I believe I brought this up in a previous show, New Mexico has more political assassinations than any other state in American history. I'll double-check on it just to be sure. 1902, Teddy Roosevelt was the first president to ride in a car. And he'd probably say, bully. And in 1906, the first Victrola was made, and you famously see the dog looking into or trying to bark or howl into the horn, his master's voice. That's the most one of the most famous depictions of dogs and music in the whole history of business. In 1982, Ariel Sharon tried to get the Palestinians to agree to peaceful coexistence with Israel, and we've seen what's happened. Now, we've had this guy, Jeremiah Wilson Nixon, who's made, when he ran for governor, he made these political claims, and it's very interesting. And today, I think he was elected in 08, how he's handled these riots and all this public insurrection and anarchy in Ferguson, Missouri. And I think this little clip gives you an insight into this guy.
That car's dirty.
No. Oh, we got the wrong thing here. The governor, what's his name, is dirty. But now, Tom Eagleton was also from Missouri in 1972, after all the other prospective vice presidential candidates rejected the offer from George McGovern. They thought Nixon was not couldn't be defeated, although Nixon later was forced out before and threatened with impeachment, and he resigned. But anyway, George McGovern, the so-called peace candidate from from South Dakota, who was also a World War II veteran, he settled on Tom Eagleton, who was Catholic, who was from Missouri, who had a law degree, who also served in the U.S. Navy, but he had some problems. And it's interesting that he shares both Jay Nixon and Tom Eagleton seem to have some similarities in their political career, both Democrats also. So here's a now Tom Eagleton concealed his mental record, and this came out because they didn't do a thorough background check on him before he was placed on the 1972 ticket, and so he was forced to withdraw. And this is his comments after he withdrew.
Senator Thomas Eagleton was nominated to the Democratic ticket early on the morning of Friday, August the 14th, and late last evening he withdrew from that ticket. He's in this morning along with Barry Serafin, who's been covering his campaign since that time. Senator Eagleton, at what point in yesterday's events did you actually throw in the towel?
Well, that's a cliche. By the way, it was Friday, July 14th.
Was it July? You're absolutely right.
I'm a nitpicker for details, especially when you come to counting votes. No, I didn't throw in the towel in the sense of that cliche. Yesterday was a very happy day for me. Under all the circumstances, I received literally dozens and dozens. I would guess over 100 phone calls that I personally took from people all over the country, rich people, poor people, important people, people who technically are not so important but are pretty darn important because they're people. I told him, quite frankly, and that I thought perhaps I was an asset now, that when I went on the ticket, I was Tom Who. I added nothing to the ticket in terms of voting power. I subtracted nothing. I felt now that based on the response that I'd received around the nation, Barry was with me in Honolulu and on both Los Angeles and San Francisco, that there were more pluses to Eagleton than minuses. I know there's some minuses. And George McGovern could not have been finer.
What did he say then, Senator?
Oh, we didn't take down exact notes. He expressed his confidence in me. He expressed satisfaction that my health was adequate, but he pointed out, and an argument can be made on this side, that if I remain on the ticket, all the attention and all the debate would be about Eagleton, as George calls it, his past medical history. And it would take away from focusing on some problems that have to be attended to: Vietnam War, the economy, the credibility gap, et cetera, important issues that he must debate and should debate and need to be debated. It was sort of my personal belief that the Eagleton issue would fade away through this month of August, around the first day of August. I mean, 86 years ago, you tell us we had our first census. But I thought it would fade away during this month of August. You know, I'd go to enough cities so that Barry Serafin would get tired of asking me in every city of the country about my health, and that it would run its course. But an argument can be made that it would linger on. So I'm not here to say who's categorical right or who's categorically wrong. I'll just say that George McGovern could not have been finer to me. I believe in him as much as I did in Miami, and I'm going to work for him, maybe work for him doubly hard.
That was Tom Eagleton. He died several years later, and, of course, now they try to thoroughly vet presidential candidates. Now, Nixon had the same Richard Nixon had a similar problem with Spiro Agnew, who was the county executive of Baltimore, who was later threatened with impeachment because of his corruption. He wasn't thoroughly vetted, as they say. And, of course, if the Democrats select Hillary Rodham Clinton, this is gonna, some things are going to come out about her, you know, and things that, she, that her friends in the media have tried to hide. You can't get away with these things anymore with the Internet and the way modern technology has made a lot of information available, very successful, and it's very easy and it's very inexpensive. I'm going to, for some reason we lost Jay Nixon. I'm going to try to find him, and let's see, it'll take a sec, so let me see. I know we had him, and we will bring this up. Now, upcoming is Lyndon Johnson's birthday on the 27th. I thought it was today. I'm sorry. So we will have a special on Lyndon Johnson, who Uncle Cornpone. There are a lot of interesting things about him. He did do a lot for people, but unfortunately his legacy with the poverty program, model cities, a lot of things have just been abused by people, and the money that should have gone to help poor and to help the country, we don't see them. What we see are the professional poverty profiteers who have hijacked these programs, and we have a hard time defending their existence when if they were administered properly and these people were punished and prosecuted like they were at Passaic, New Jersey, where it was so bad that they even had HUD funds spent for a dog house or a cat house. We're not talking about prostitutes, although that may have been there also. But one of the worst problems with the poverty programs have been here in San Francisco. Saul Alinsky came out here in the 70s, and he set up shop at 82nd Street, and David Fowler, who was around at the time, native San Franciscan and in the media, exposed him. And I worked with David Fowler at KLW, and we worked together on exposing the corruption in the poverty programs, among other corruption in San Francisco. For some reason, I know we have this Jay Nixon, and I'm trying to find it. This is we have this problem periodically. Excuse me. And I know it's got to be here. Let me try one more time because I don't want to delay. Now, also, I would recommend, we got the Labor Day weekend coming up. I'm going to replay an interview I did with a descendant of Samuel Gompers, who was one of the founders of the American Labor, Modern Labor Movement, the American Federation of Labor, which later merged with the CIO, the Congress of Industrial Organizations. And, of course, the unions aren't what they used to be. They didn't have the political power that that they had back in the 30s and 40s and even into the 50s. In fact, Taft Hartley in the Truman administration. That was a bill by Senator Robert Taft to start cracking down on these wildcat strikes. Harry Truman refused to sign it because he had gotten support from the unions throughout his life. As also, he was from Missouri. So we'll get into that. It's a longer interview. The gentleman who I did the interview with, I'm not going to give his name because he works for a non-union company, he knows about the history of his great ancestor, and it's very interesting that he works for a non-union company, and here his ancestor was one of the founders of the American labor movement. Samuel Gompers emigrated from England. I think family was into cigars, Jewish ethnic family. I don't know if they practiced, but quite interesting man he was. And then later we've seen other things happen with that AFL-CIO and the Musicians Union. For some reason, I lost Jay, what's his name? So anyway, we'll have him Monday, and I think it's also appropriate to have him. And also this week, also Hiroshima was bombed. I don't think we're going to need to play that again. And also we'll have why police, not only police profile people, but they do it in major cities. Civilians do it, and whether you're in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, even here in San Francisco, and what it's based on, several factors. Individuals, not only professional, but citizens' experience with certain types of people, certain types of blacks, certain types of Latinos, certain types of Asians, who are thugs, who have a reputation, whether deserved or not, for robbing people, assaulting people, pushing drugs, extorting money from people, prostitution, that kind of thing. And so, you know, in New York they see a kid with tennis shoes. I understand the cops call those perpetrators. So there's a lot of confusion about profiling, and as Patrick Butler said, and as other policemen have said, one of the reasons that law enforcement profiles is not only identify would-be criminals, but also to protect the public. So, you know, and then of course there have been a lot of mistakes made. Another thing that happens, and people still don't realize this, especially when it gets to automobile insurance. When a cop car is following a car, especially if it is Popeye would say, maybe that car is dirty, what the first thing they'll do is look at the license plate and see if it's current. If it's not current, they're going to stop the car and ask the driver and the inhabitant, the occupants, for identification. And invariably, what happens, the occupants, this has happened many times, do not have auto insurance, not properly registered. They don't have a proper driver's license or no driver's license or a driver's license that has expired. Or they've got a drunk driving conviction against them, or they're a parolee who shouldn't be driving. It goes on and on and on. Anyway, that's one reason. Also, if a car has one of the taillights out, I've been stopped. And, of course, it cost me $25, but it happens. But these are some of the reasons that cops stop cars. One of the things that is troubling is the use of force. We've had a case here in San Francisco very recently, the Nieto case, where the neighbors and his supporters feel that the police use excessive force to kill this guy. And the Michael Brown thing. Now, we don't know. It is claimed on Fox News and other media, reputable media, that Michael Brown, who was 6'4", 300 pounds, physically assaulted Darren Wilson. You know, it's interesting. Jay Nixon. Wilson is his middle name also. I guess it's the Klan. But anyway, we haven't seen these medical reports. Darren Wilson was supposed to have been taken to the hospital by his boss, the police chief of Ferguson, so we haven't seen those medical reports. And when the grand jury is convened, Let's see if Jay Nixon will not interfere with it and let the prosecutor do his duty and do his job and get all the information out to see what really happened. Anyway, the concern is, shouldn't the police try to disable the person rather than to, I won't say execute, but to not to kill them, but to try to shoot them in the arms, the legs, the shoulder, whatever, and not to do a headshot. A headshot's usually fatal. So this is an issue that maybe police need to be retrained in using minimal force to bring down somebody. This is an issue. We don't want to give the anarchists who are in our midst, we don't want to give them an issue. And if the police can protect themselves and protect the public by using minimal force, I think they should try that or be retrained so that they can do this and not get into these controversies. So we'll end today. Have a safe weekend. We'll have Politics and Popper, and we will have that Jay Nixon campaign clip Monday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, and later that week, Labor Day weekend, we will replay the interview of the ancestor of Samuel Gompers. So have a safe weekend. This is Peter Paul Brazola. We're going to end up with Politics and Poker. Maybe all these people ought to sit down and play a hand of poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony,
what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, what do you say?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Okay.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play,
what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Madam.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck! Politics and poker, politics.
Pete Paul Verzola. Have a safe weekend. We'll be back Monday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Have a safe weekend, and look forward to Labor Day weekend next week. Good night. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS YouTube. Good night.